This morning, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 is what we're going to read. Today, we're going to continue our series on faith. This year, talking about faith for the journey. I hope and pray that these messages have been a blessing to you and some kind of encouragement. You know, as we live for the Lord, we have to live by faith, trusting that God is not only in control, but that He will guide and direct our lives. Well, this morning's message is going to, I'm going to approach it a little bit different than I do most messages. Usually I try to bring more of an expository type message where I'll take a section and go through it. But this morning, it's going to be more of a topical message, as you'll see here in a minute. The reference, Hebrews 11:32, just gives us a list of men. Verse 32 of Hebrews 11 says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets." We're given this list of men. I believe it was cut short, basically, as the writer says there. He didn't have time as far as his writing. But also, I imagine he knew or believed that the Hebrews knew who he was talking about and knew the history of the nation of Israel and would be able to understand the faith that he was referring to. You know, as we've looked at some of these men, we've had to really dig down deep to find that faith. But we come now to a man who I believe most of you know as far as his name, and you probably know much of the information concerning him in the Scriptures, and that is David. You know, when we think of David, we usually think of two events in his life: when he slew the giant Goliath, and when he sinned later in his life. Now, I know there was a lot of other things in the Bible concerning David, but those two, I guess you say, events stand out. And this morning, instead of looking at those two events, we're going to look at his life of faith and how he trusted in God. I hope today that we're able to recognize that he did live by faith, that he trusted God, and that God blessed him. Now, the context, you know, Hebrews 11, verse 32, the context of this verse, I believe, when you look at these men, all of them are leaders in Israel. We have five judges and one king, that king being David. That's who we're going to talk about this morning. But the other men were judges. They were leaders in Israel. And we find, as we've seen, they put their faith in God to lead the people and to make correct decisions. So this morning, I'm not going to go back and cover all of David's life. And I'm not going to even reference or make mention of his battles necessarily, like the battle between him and Goliath, even though there was faith involved. This morning, to keep this in context, I want to talk about David as a king. And I hope and pray this morning we'll see that he put his faith in God as he ascended to the throne. And I believe it took great faith for David to trust that God not only had a plan for his life, but at times trust that God was not through with his life, that God was still working and that God was still there. So this message will be a topical message concerning David's faith. I guess you say faith in becoming the king of Israel. The title I've given to it is Faith Found in Patience. We're going to see that David was a patient man, willing to wait upon God and willing to allow the Lord to work in his life. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided as we take this quick look at David as he assumed or prepared to assume the throne. And as you worked in his life, I pray that you'll not only open up our eyes to be able to read your word and our ears to hear your word, but also our hearts to be sensitive to your word, to the teachings we find there. I pray that this message will encourage our faith and will strengthen it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to just give you two thoughts this morning, and we're going to be turning to a lot of passages because I'm not going to sit on one verse and really expound it as much as I'm going to look at a section and find the faith that's there and then go to another section. But there is going to be some order here. I'm not just going to go back and find verses and pick them out. There is some order here, and it basically falls under two thoughts. The first one is David waited for the correct time. He had patience that God would work things out in his time. Now, that's easy to say, but it's difficult to do. You know, we live in an age, or I guess a generation of instant gratification. We like things to be done in our time, when we're ready, when we're prepared. David had to wait upon the Lord. And we're going to begin in 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And this begins from the time he was anointed as the king of Israel. 1 Samuel 16, verse 12, it says there, and he sent and brought him in. Now, speaking of David being brought in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up, it says there, and went to Ramah. This was the day that David was anointed to be the next king of Israel, or to be the king of Israel. How many of you have been, you know, when you accept a position, whether it's a with another company or even within your company, usually you accept a position, you're either promoted or you begin your new assignment within maybe a week, maybe a month. David was anointed the king of Israel at the age of 15, but it was going to be a long time before he began his work as the king of Israel. You see, he didn't immediately assume the throne. He actually remained a shepherd for several years, and even a musician. He continued there. Now, some would look and say, well, that's kind of odd. Well, God had a plan, and David had to live by faith. As I mentioned before, we live in a generation of instant gratification. You know, if we have to wait 10 seconds for, you know, our computer to come on, we get discouraged. You know, we're searching websites. If you get slowed down by 20, 30 seconds, you begin to, I got to get a new computer. Something's wrong. How about fast food? I don't know if fast food's good for you, but we enjoy fast food. I was reading the other day that they say they now have a pot roast that you can make in your microwave. I don't know. I've never had it. I don't know if I want to. But that's just the age we live in. Instant gratification. We want things right now. We want things that happen immediately. You know, I think it's safe to say we do live in an impatient society. It's difficult for us to wait. That's why I think red lights are timed so they go quick. You don't want to sit too long. You don't want traffic to keep flowing. But you know, sometimes we have to wait, especially when it concerns God and God's leading in our life. Amy Carmichael was a missionary to India, and in her journal she wrote this, "Blessed are the single-hearted, for they shall enjoy much peace." She says, "If you refuse to be hurried and pressed, if you stay your soul on God, nothing can keep you from that clearness of spirit, which is life and peace." You see, she understood that at times we must wait upon God. Not hurry, not press him, or not be hurried ourselves, not worry and fret because it hasn't happened yet, but wait upon God. And then you find contentment and peace, not in yourself, but in trusting God and waiting upon him. You see, David, I tell you, he was required to wait. At the age of 15, his anointed king, he was given this promise. Now, he was given God's word. It was going to happen. It was going to come to pass. David was told that he would be the next king, so he would be. He just needed to wait on God to work. And that's what David did. The Bible says that he waited patiently. You know, we're in 1 Samuel 16. If you go down to verse 19, it says, "Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep." It says, "And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer." You know, David did not receive the throne immediately, but you know what happened? God began to work in his life. God began to prepare him to be the king of Israel. You see, God may not give you the blessings that he has planned for you right now. He may begin to prepare you for those blessings. He may begin to prepare our church for those blessings. He may not give them all at once, but he may prepare us before he gives them. That's what happened here with David. David was given a position there at the palace. Now, he didn't go find this. He didn't go force himself into the palace and say, you know what, God's chosen me to be the next king. I better get in there. He was faithful where God placed him, waited, and God blessed. And then when he went into the palace, the Bible tells us he served. He didn't serve as the next king. He served as a musician to King Saul is what he did. But he was content where God placed him. This morning, I want to encourage you to be content with where God has put you or placed you. That's what happened here with David. Secondly, we find him serving as a soldier there in the palace. You know, the Bible tells us that David won many victories while he served there in the palace. Now, he didn't go lead immediately. He served where God had placed him. You know, this morning, I want to encourage you to be faithful where God's placed you, whether it's at work, whether it's here within the church. Just be faithful where God has put you. You know, David never, he never attempted to usurp the throne. He didn't create a problem. He didn't start a rebellion. He didn't try to force King Saul out. Even though he knew he was to be the next king, he let God work. I tell you what, that is faith. That is faith that God would work on his behalf. He trusted that God would not only allow him to be that next king, but that God would allow it to take place at the correct time. David spent 5 years in the palace. I imagine, this is just my opinion for my own thoughts, I imagine about the fifth year, he may have begun to think, you know, this is going to be a seamless transition. I'm going to continue in the palace. I'm going to continue to be a soldier. I'm going to learn from King Saul. Things are working out good. I'm going to eventually be the king of Israel. Just when I imagine he thought things were working out well, things began to change. The Bible tells us, if you want to turn over to 1 Samuel 22, the Bible tells us that David was chased from the palace. Saul became jealous. And because of his jealousy, he became bitter against David. And he went after him. You know what? If you hold on to jealousy, you're going to become bitter. And that's what happened to King Saul. It says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. You know, when David was anointed king, I imagine he didn't think that this would be the type of men he was leading. Talk about a crew of men that had been in debt and been in trouble, been rejected, been chased from the palace, were probably not necessarily against King Saul, but seeing Saul probably didn't want to see them in his sight. And that's the kind of men that God drew to David. And those are the type of men that not only did God draw to David here, but I'm going to tell you the rest of his, not only his waiting to take the throne, but also when he served as king, these were the men that I believe were the backbone to his army. These were the men that God used. And how God blessed him greatly. See, David did not know the future, but God did. And God was preparing him to be that king that he wanted him to be. And so God allowed David to head out to the wilderness. And it was a wilderness. I tell you what, he traded his palace, and he didn't do this on purpose, but he basically traded his nice bed and his nice room to live in caves and out in the fields. Now that's fun for a weekend. How many like camping out? I enjoy camping. That's fun for a weekend. But it's always nice to know you can go back home. You can go back to running water. You can go back to your bed. You can go back to all the luxuries you have. David didn't have that. This was his new life now. He didn't know what the future held. He continued to live on the run. I'm sure at some point, if he didn't wonder this, I know I would have. It would have been easy to wonder if this was part of God's plan. Are you sure I'm the next king? Are you sure this is the direction I'm supposed to be going? I thought the king was to live in the palace. I thought the king was to, you know, take the throne and to lead people, not be on the run from the king that's sitting there. But David continued. The Bible tells us he continued to look to the Lord. He remained faithful. He prayed to God. He respected God. He trusted God to lead his life. Oswald Chambers once wrote this. He says, "Faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to God. There are some things only learned in a fiery furnace." You know, faith is not asking God to remove the problems. Faith is trusting that God has allowed those problems, and whether he removes them or not, we're going to stick with him. We're not going to doubt him. We're not going to leave him. We're going to continue on. That's faith. Trusting in God no matter what's going on in your life. And sticking with the Lord. That's what David did. He's out there in the wilderness and he trusted that the Lord would allow him to become king. And you may say, well, Pastor, how do you know he trusted? I'm going to give you two examples. And they're real similar. One's found in 1 Samuel 24. We're not going to turn there, but that's the first time that David had an opportunity to take King Saul's life. There in the cave in En-Gedi. The Bible tells us that Saul was pursuing after David. He got tired. He looked over and saw this cave. He could have some rest. He went over there, and the Bible says he went in, and now David was in that cave. Now, these caves were large. They're not just like little tiny caves. These caves were large. They said that some of these caves were large enough for shepherds to take their entire flock in during bad weather. The Bible tells us that David was back in this cave and some of his men, and Saul did not know this or was unaware of it, and he went in and he found some rest. And there as he slept, the Bible says David had an opportunity to take his life. But David refused to. Not because Saul was his buddy, but because he respected the position that God had given him. You see, David respected the Lord. And David trusted that God would work things out. So David refused to take Saul's life. Now that's faith. Had he doubted, he may have done that and said, you know what, this is God's plan, I'm going to do this and I'll take the throne. No, he waited for God to work. Secondly, he had another opportunity. 1 Samuel 26, we find he had another chance to take King Saul's life. This time it was out in the wilderness. King Saul had camped and his men, and the Bible says it became nighttime, and David and Abishai snuck into the camp of King Saul. Bible says there, as King Saul slept, that David once again had an opportunity. Not only opportunity, he had encouragement. Abishai believed it was God's will and encouraged him to take Saul's life, but David refused once again, not wanting to raise his hand against God's elect. David lived by faith. He did. He trusted that God would put him on the throne when it was time. Now that's faith. That's willing to wait upon God. Now both times David respected Saul because of Saul's position. It had nothing to do with fear. David had already slain the giant Goliath. David had already conquered many foes. He'd already fought many battles. We're not talking about a fearful, cowardly man. This man put his faith in God. You know, this morning, putting your faith in God is not cowardly. You know, the world wants Christians to believe that when they trust in God, that it's just a cowardly act. It's not cowardly to trust in God. Actually, I think it takes more strength today to put your faith in God than it does to live in the world. Because you put your faith in God and you trust in God and people find out, you may be ridiculed, you may be mocked, and you may be laughed at. Now, David was willing. He was willing to wait upon God. This morning, are you willing to wait upon God? Are you willing to say your will, not mine? That takes faith, is what that takes. 10 years. 10 years he remained in the wilderness, on the run. Yes, he went into the Philistine country a little bit. He traveled throughout Israel. But 10 years, he basically lived as a castaway, a rebel from his nation and the king after him. You see, David had faith in God that God would keep his word. Now, that's what he held on to. It wasn't that, you know, God was just, you know, saying, David, you know, hold on. God had promised him to be the next king. And that's what David clung to, that he would be on the throne, and so he trusted God. Here's my second thought. He had faith waiting for that throne. Now, we talked about the timing. David waited that God would put him there when it was time. And secondly, David would not challenge or take that throne. Bible tells us in 2 Samuel, we're not going to turn there, but in chapter 1, we find that David received news of Saul's death. You know what's interesting is he didn't rejoice. Actually, he mourned for Saul's death. He was saddened because of what took place. And for all intents and purposes, Jonathan was also slain. That was King Saul's son. For all intents and purposes, David was the next king, or to be the next king. However, it did not work out that way. How many of you have living life like that? You got all your plans made, and all next thing you know, you're going a different direction. That's what happens in life. That's what happened with David. When you think about it, he should have been the next king. I mean, everything now seemed to be aligned for it. But we have a man by the name of Abner, that's Saul's old general, got involved and pretty much swayed the people of Israel. And they, instead of looking to David as their king, they looked to one of Saul's sons as their king. Instead of becoming the king of Israel, David became the king of Judah. A smaller section, not near the size, not near the magnitude of Israel. He was just the king of Judah. Now, when he became the king of Judah, the Bible tells us he was 30 years old. And I want to draw your attention to the fact that he had to wait. Think on this, 15 years. 15 years he had to wait before he would become the king of anything. You see, he was anointed at the age of 15, but he wasn't given the throne until he was 30 years old. But by this time, not only was he older, I imagine he was a lot wiser. And the Bible tells us he was definitely stronger in faith. He had trusted God. He had been blessed during that time. You know, but the rest of Israel did not accept him. You know, rejection can cause us to lose our faith. The rest of Israel said, no, we want somebody else. And so David was just the king, the Bible tells us, of Judah. But he had to wait in Hebron. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 2. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 1. Bible says there, and it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither shall I go up? And he said, Unto Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite, and his men that were with him did David bring up every man that his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. We find that David went into Hebron, became the king. Here's what I want to, for the next few minutes, just draw your attention to. First, think of his knowledge once again. He's 30 years old now. I mean, he's at that age where men are beginning their careers, they're moving forward, and he knew he was to be the king of Israel. He had that knowledge. It wasn't hidden. It wasn't secret. God had already told him that he would be the king of Israel. I'm sure he was tempted to go and just take it. I guarantee he was. The Bible tells us David was an aggressive man. He was bold and courageous. I'm sure the temptation was probably there just to go on in and take it and to become the next king. Also, I'm sure he recognized that the time was correct as far as Jonathan was now slain, King Saul was gone. But instead of forcing himself in, the Bible says he patiently waited. You know what he did? He looked to God. He asked God what he should do. This morning, if you ever get in a situation where doors seem to be closed or the direction you want to go just does not seem to be opening up, don't necessarily just go and force it open. Seek God first and allow Him to direct and then follow as He leads. That's what happened here with David. He was patient. And because he was patient, God would bless. You know, David trusted God basically with his future is what he did. And that's something that we all need to do. After we're saved, yes, we're trusting God with our eternity, but how about we trust Him with our future here on earth? I tell you, God can take care. If God can take care of eternity, He can take care of us right here today. So let's put our faith in the Lord. You know, David was also content. For him to stay there and remain there doesn't show laziness to me because he was active while he was there. I believe he was content with where God placed him. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. And the Bible talks a little bit about contentment here. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading there in verse 10. It says in Philippians 4, verse 10, But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. And verse 11, he says, Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Notice Paul told the Philippians there that he learned to be content. I think contentment is a learning process. First, I don't think it's natural. You know, we still have that the flesh. You know, once we're saved, we still live with the sinful flesh. I don't think it's natural for our flesh to be content. I think as far as our flesh is concerned, we want more. It's difficult to be content where God has placed us. And Paul said he learned to be content. Obviously, David must have learned contentment as well. I don't know, but maybe he learned it while he was out there in the wilderness. And Saul was chasing him around, and David learned to trust in the Lord instead of trusting in himself. And so when he was blessed later, he was content with what God had given him. You see, we need to learn to be content. I was reading the story of a retired devout believer who loved the Lord, sitting out on his front porch one day, watching the new neighbors move in. And this young couple comes out with all their children, and they pull this U-Haul back up, or they back this U-Haul up back to their garage, their new garage, and they begin to unload. And they have everything. You know, they got all the gadgets and computers and TVs and everything you can think of. They're unloading it in there. And this old gentleman sitting there watching. And after an hour or so, the man who's moving in comes walking by. And he sees him and he waves. And he says, How you doing, sir? And that old gentleman looks. He says, I'm doing fine. The old man looks. He goes, You know what? He goes, if you need any help, just let me know. And that young guy looks. He goes, Well, you know what? We may need some help here in a little bit. What do you think? And that old man looks. He says, Well, I'll tell you what. He says, If you find you're lacking anything, just let me know and I'll show you how to live without it. And you think about that. Living without things is just learning to be content with what we have. Now, there's nothing wrong with the technologies. There's nothing wrong with having those things if God's allowed it. But we shouldn't be living for those things. And if we don't have them, it shouldn't cause us to be discontent. You know, I want to, parents, encourage your children to be content with what they have, with what God has given to them. You know, David was content, obviously. And here's why I believe he was content. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 2 that they settled there in Hebron. They built homes. His men built houses. And they lived there. There is no indication that David looked to take the throne by force. He didn't go after and attack Ish-bosheth. He allowed things to play out. Actually, the only battle that's recorded is when Abner went across and attacked David, and David sent Joab, and they defended themselves. That's the only battle you find. David didn't look to be king. He didn't force himself upon the nation. Instead, he was content where God led him, or God allowed him to be. And that leads us really to the final thought as we get ready to wrap this up, and that's found in 2 Samuel chapter 5. 7 years go by. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 7 years go by. The nation is in the middle of a civil war for a little over 7 years. And then finally they look to David as their king. We find that verse 1. It says, "Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. And it says, they anointed David king over Israel." Now think about this. David refused to seize the throne. He refused to force the people to follow him. Even after Ish-bosheth died, David waited, and the people came to him. You see, he allowed God to work in his life instead of trying to work things out himself. Now, that is difficult to do. It's easy to meddle and try to force things instead of waiting upon God. David exercised great self-restraint and patience. That's having faith in God. You know, he was satisfied with letting God work. And the Bible tells us that his conduct was good. That's what they noticed. You know, the Israel leaders, when they came to him, the elders talked about his conduct. In other words, how he had handled himself. David, throughout the entire time, displayed a good testimony while he was waiting on God. You know, it's important this morning, not only are we to live by faith, but it's important that we live correctly while we are waiting on God. We're not to go out and live in this world while we're waiting on God. We're to trust in the Lord and serve the Lord. It was G. Campbell Morgan, an old Baptist pastor, he said this. He said, "Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. And third, the ability to do nothing until that command is given." That's what patience is. That's what waiting on God is. It's not doing nothing. It's being active where God has placed you and not moving until God has open the door or allowed you to go, and then when God does direct or God does bless, going full speed in that new direction. That's patience and waiting on God. After 7 years of civil war, the nation finally turned to David. After 22 years of waiting, now that's a long time. I don't care what generation you live in. 22 years of waiting is a long time. After 22 years of waiting, David finally became king of all Israel. When you look at his life, he was a patient man. He waited. He didn't force himself on anything. He didn't try to take the throne. He trusted God's word and he allowed God to work. You see, that's faith in patience, waiting on God and trusting him. So David did ascend to the throne in God's time and in God's way. It reminds me of Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to turn over there and read this verse there. Proverbs chapter 3. And it's a good one to remember, and as you serve the Lord, to apply to your life. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." You think about David, even though he did not write that, that applied to his life. He trusted God, and God led and directed him. So he was anointed at the age of 15. He lived in the palace for 5 years, was kicked out, chased around the countryside for 10 years, lived in exile off the land. Then he finally became king, not of all Israel, but of one tribe. 7 years later, he became king of the entire nation. You see, not only did David put his faith in God's word, but God kept his word to David. It may have taken time, but God's word was true. You see, God is not bound by our time. God will work in his time, and we just need to trust in him. You know, David displayed faith in God's word. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what David did. He took God at his word. This morning, that's all faith is, taking God at his word. If it's for salvation, you're taking God at his word, that he'll save your soul if you repent of your sin and trust in Christ as your Savior, that he'll accept you and save you. It's not about emotions or feelings. It's not about where you make that decision. It's about putting your faith in God and taking him at his word, because his word is true, because he is faithful. And that's what David found out, that God was faithful and that God would keep his word. You know, in closing this morning, faith is not only found in the exciting events. I think of David, and I'll probably always, whenever I think of David, I'll always probably think of David and Goliath first. I don't know if it's because that's the story I heard most often when I was younger, or maybe just because it's an interesting story, and there is faith there. But David, when you think about this, faith is not only found in the exciting events, but it's found in waiting on the Lord. Actually, I think if we would do a study of David's life as far as the time, I think we would find that David exercised more faith in waiting than he did in any big events. It was on a daily basis. He just trusted that God would work. And so he may be remembered for those brief instances, but actually his life was a life of faith, trusting in the Lord. And I think we can relate to that, because that's how our life is as well. You know, tomorrow morning it may not be a big event you have planned. Or the Lord may not allow a big trial in your life. It just may be another Monday morning, another Monday day. And at the end of that day, you come home and you spend it with your family, and then you move on to Tuesday. But faith is required even on those days. Trusting that God is working in your life, that God is not forsaken, but that God has a plan that God will bless. And just taking God at his word. You know, very few things occur immediately. Now, I know in our generation, we have a lot of things that occur immediately now. But very few things really do occur immediately when we serve the Lord. God often delays blessings. And we say delay, but they're not delayed to him. He's bringing them at the correct time. We just may think they're delayed from our viewpoint. That's when we just need to trust in the Lord. You see, faith is found in patience. And that is waiting and trusting in the Lord as he leads. How about we trust that he has a plan? I think of the plan of salvation. There is not, like I said, there are not many ways to God. There's one way to God, and that's found in the Bible. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, there's one way to God the Father, and that's through his Son, Jesus Christ. I hope and pray everyone here this morning has put your faith in Jesus Christ, but if you have not, that's the way to not only have access to God the Father, but to be accepted by God the Father. And to not only enjoy fellowship, but be brought into his family is through Jesus Christ. And that's all because Jesus Christ not only lived the perfect life, but he provided atonement for sin when he died on the cross so we could be saved. You see, trust in Jesus Christ, having faith in the plan that God has put there for salvation, not in our own wants and wishes and desires, but faith in God's plan. And then secondly, as we serve the Lord, you know, once we're saved, we need to continue trusting in God, that he's got a plan for our life, that he'll guide and that he'll direct. You see, trusting in the Lord is faith. Faith that he'll work things out. You know, I'm going to leave you with one illustration, and then we'll have an invitation this morning. I found this a while back. This is someone put this together. It's just a little, like a little bit of a writing, a little bit of a letter. Of course, it's not scripture, but I think it'll bring across the point of faith and trusting in God. This was a letter that a man had found, and it begins by starting off. It says, my precious child, I am in control. I am sovereign. I am able to make things happen the way I want them to go. Yes, I allow you to make your own choices, and I know you fully don't understand how these can operate side by side. But I'm able to work within and around the choices you make to cause my ultimate purposes to succeed. For this, you must trust me. Ask me about your choices and plans. My wisdom is yours if you'll ask. I want you to cooperate with my plans. When the people around you don't do that, be assured I am still in control. I will fulfill my plan. Their choices are their own, but I'm still in control. Trust me, I'll use it for your good. Lovingly, your Heavenly Father, the King. Now you think about that. Now, like I said, that's not scripture. But there's the principles and the teachings that refers to in the scripture are there in the scriptures. That God is in control. That God does have a plan, not only for this world, but for each one of you individually. And we just need to trust that He'll work in our life and that He'll work all things out for good. I hope and pray this morning as we have this time of invitation that this message will just be a reminder to you of just waiting and trusting in God and putting your faith in Him no matter what comes into your life. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings You provided. I pray as we have this time of invitation, Lord, if You've worked in anyone's heart here this morning, in any way, I pray that they'll seek You out in prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have the piano play for a few minutes and just open this time up for a time of prayer. You're welcome to come down to the altar and pray, or you can pray right where you are. If there's anyone here that has questions concerning salvation, don't hesitate to come forward. Please come forward. We can show you from God's Word what salvation is and how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Perhaps there's one here this morning, like David. Maybe you're waiting on something. Maybe you've taken something to God in prayer, and for whatever reason, God has chosen for you to wait. He hasn't answered that prayer yet. This morning, maybe you need to seek God out in prayer and just put your trust in Him. Continue to go forward. Don't quit. Don't get discouraged. Trust He has a plan, that He's allowing the delay for a reason. Maybe it's to prepare you. Maybe it's to prepare the blessing that He has for you. We're going to close with a word of prayer this morning. It's good to see you out, and I hope you have a good week. It's...